Hey, hey, this is your girl Asada O, and welcome to The Easy Breezy Life, the official podcast of our global community, featuring women from over 50 countries who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. The purpose of this podcast is to help you become CEO of your life so that you can take the reins and create the abundance that God intended for you to have. As a disclaimer, everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. We believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, and we want to encourage you to seek out professional advice and support in any way, shape, or form that you might need it. We're going to take a brief break and come back with this week's episode. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores. Good morning, sis. Welcome to another episode of The Easy Breezy Life. You are listening to my once per month complimentary episode if you want to listen to my vault of amazing wisdom nuggets on how to live, love, and do life. Subscribe to the channel for $5 per month. You will not regret it. And please, if you enjoy this episode, like, share, tell a friend. So today's episode, we are talking about how to identify evidence of gaslighting in your relationships and effectively move yourself right on out. Right. So for those who are unaware, gaslighting is a form of manipulation and it's used to gain power over people. But really, what is most detrimental about gaslighting, it's a form of mental abuse, right? The kinds of people who use gaslighting towards their victims are abusers, people who are dictators, narcissists, and cult leaders, right? Could be even some religious leaders, depending on your affiliation. And so I think it's important for all of us to know the signs, because I know for me, I grew up in a household where some of these behaviors took place, and so they were somewhat normalized. It really wasn't until I got older, took control of my mental health, got therapeutic services, that I started to recognize some of these red flags. And then I ended up getting a degree in social work where we talked about the wheel of control and abuse and how it functions in our lives, and it was absolutely mind-blowing for me. But in case you don't have time to get an entire degree in social work to understand yourself and the world around you, I'm going to give you a few red flags to look out for that tell you that you might be dealing with an abuser, narcissist, or cult-like leader. Number one, they tell blatant lies. Like, you know it's an outright lie. They're telling you this lie with a straight face. You've already fact-checked before you ask them the question because you know that they have a tendency to lie. And they're still doing it, right? With a straight face. And once they tell one big lie, they just go from one lie to the next, to the next, to the next. Now, what is interesting about these kinds of individuals, especially for me, because it's a major trigger, like when somebody is blatantly lying, I like have a tendency of losing all decorum, right? Like, niceties go out the window, because in my mind, I feel like you're a poor quality person, and I'm just not inclined to respect you if I feel like you're a habitual liar. Now, what I have learned in being surrounded by some folks who regularly engage in this behavior is that oftentimes they have justified the means to the end, right? Like, if I tell the truth, I may lose XYZ. You may not talk to me. I may feel exposed, so on and so forth. So for them, in their mind, the social risk of losing whatever is valuable to them is greater than them losing respect in your eyes to tell this lie. And I used to believe that every person who was a blatant liar was malicious in their intent and premeditated. And I learned over time that there are some people who just lie like it's water. Someone normalized the behavior at some point in their life and they don't even know when they're doing it. They don't see the harm in it. They feel like they're protecting you with these lies. And so I have realized that when I am dealing with someone who is a habitual liar, who when you call them out on their lie, they do not want to take responsibility, I just stop. Honestly, I stop participating, right? I don't acknowledge the lie. I don't rebuke the lie. I don't say anything unless the standing lie is so detrimental, meaning it's between me and my destiny, me and a major portion of my life. I learn to ignore such people. The next red flag we're talking about today is they deny that they ever said something, even though you have proof. So I am known for becoming an excellent record keeper when I feel like I am dealing with someone who regularly rewrites history. Because I feel like I don't have time to go back and forth with you. So I'm either going to document the conversation, keep the text, right? Keep your email, because I just don't have time. I just don't have time to argue over facts that I can prove. And once I communicated, irrespective of how the person responds, I give no response. You're going to notice a trend today. No response. No response is a response. No response preserves your energy. No response protects your sanity. No response keeps you from getting drawn out into conversations that will not be fruitful or beneficial to your life. No response is the response. It's sometimes the best response when you're dealing with gaslighters, because they will just pick up and find a new victim, right? Be clear, be as concise as possible, and as emotionless as possible, because gaslighters love to get a good rise out of folk. The next thing is, they will use what is near and dear to you as ammunition. Gaslighters will find children, they will use friends, they will use loved ones, they will use anyone who they deem important to you to get near you. So how do you protect those relationships? If and when possible, you do not, by any means, commingle the relationships that you have that are valuable to you with a gaslighter. So I had a person in my life who was an infamous gaslighter and manipulator. And this person was hell-bent on kind of shifting the narrative with the people who were super close to me. And they would go out of their way to befriend people who were my friends, right? Go out of their way to bring up the issue because they thought perhaps I had brought up our conflict or our relationship or our issues. But the truth was, I didn't, because when I am dealing with someone who I think is a liar or a gaslighter, I give it no energy, which means I'm not talking to it about it with my friends. I'm not talking about it with my spouse. I'm not bringing them up. No one knows I'm connected to them. Like, it's just radio silence. Nonetheless, this person would connect with people that they thought were super close to me, only to find out after the fact that they'd never actually met my true circle. So all of this effort, right, wasted for nothing, and essentially making themselves look bad in the process. And I have zero regrets about that, right? I believe in protecting what is precious. I also understand that if you're doing this in a household, and this is like a fellow parent, a co-parent doing this, it can be very, very difficult to separate those lines. But you want as much as possible when you're using, or when you are dealing with someone who uses those who are near and dear to you, be it your children, be it your friends, be it your spouse, to try as ammunition against you. Keep it to a cordial minimum. That's what I call it. Cordial minimum. For example, maybe you used to call a checkup on that person. Maybe you just need to hit them with a text wishing them well. Notice that a text wishing you well is not a text that invites conversation. It is a text message wishing the person well. And that is all, right? You are not drawing out, hey, what's going on in their life? Because any invitation to talk about their life is an invitation to open up a can of worms, and you may not be able to get yourself out of whatever tangled web they weave as a result of you opening Pandora's box with open-ended questions. So when I am dealing with someone who is a gaslighter, who uses people or information as ammunition, listen, brevity, brevity, brevity. Facts only, in the most concise and polite way possible. They wear you down over time. This is the interesting thing about gaslighting. It's done gradually. It's over time. A little lie here, a little lie there, a little snide comment here, and then they just start picking it up. And even the most bright, self-aware people can get sucked into a gaslighting relationship because it's just that effective. No lie, no exaggeration. My husband and I have been recently binge watching because we discovered Sisters. I know you're like, what? Why are you just discovering Sisters? Well, let's just say that for a very long time, I was detoxing our home of TV. And now maybe or not, I have a little bit more time to watch TV that doesn't benefit my business or career or spiritual life. And so I watch Sisters because we like the show. There goes my confession. But this character, Gary, such an effective gaslighter that even I, as someone who's watching this show, is like, is Gary for real? Like, Gary has two women in Andy's bed. Is Gary for real? My husband's like, this is a narcissistic gaslighter. Don't you see all the signs? And I was concerned because I was like, no, I thought that he was genuinely clueless. He couldn't possibly be doing all these things. So, of course, I go in because I think we're on season 3 and season 7 is approaching. So we're mad behind. So I go in and read about this character, Gary, only to find out that we are just getting started with Gary's mess and his gaslighting behavior. But it just made me think of how many people I'd met in my own life who were gaslighters that I didn't identify right away because I had such an empathetic heart. I ignored their gaslighting behavior. And that goes to say this. At some point, your boundaries must become stronger than your empathy. We live in a world and in a time where people will do and say anything to gain access into your life, and you don't even know what they're fixated on that they're trying to gain access to, right? But I've learned that there were a lot of people surrounding me who want access without the responsibility of what it means to be in close intimacy with me. So I am a person who I like to believe that I like to show up for people who are in my life. I've learned that rather than showing up for every single person 100%, I need to choose the minor few who I will give that energy. And those people have to clear in their conduct, in their speech, in their behaviors, and in the quality of the other relationships that I'm seeing in their life, right? So you coming up to me and you're like, I want to be your friend, but I've observed the way you treat your friends in conflict. I've observed the way you treat your friends when they need something. I've observed the way you treat your friends when you're not in the mood. And that treatment is not a treatment that I want to experience. Well, I'm going to use that information and the context clues around me to say, I'm not interested in having a closer relationship or cultivating a friendship. Or you say you want a mentor, yet every other mentor that you had, mentoring relationship you've had, has ended with frustration. I'm going to say that possibly you need to find another mentor. And this is not saying that every person who comes into your life with something difficult or a flaw should be written off, but we got to watch major red flags when people have 1, 2, 3 patterns of behavior with people they are surrounded by who you don't know, right? So for example, you know, this whole fiasco that happened with, I think it was 50 Reels that has now turned into a Tubi movie about marrying somebody you don't know, kind of just says like, before you say yes, before you commit to someone, you really need to see them in the native environment with the people who knew them, people who grew up with them. And that is the only fact check you really have. And until you have seen someone with the people who love them, with the people who grew up with them, with their auntie, with their sister, and really heard what they have to say, you can become a victim of gaslighting and believe an entire lie and meet a completely different person. And so I think one of the ways that we can overcome gaslighting is, girl, look alive. Open your eyes. I'm not judging anybody today because when I think about it, you know, how much we had exposure to this kind of behavior when we were kids kind of dictates our tolerance for it in adulthood. And because I experienced it a lot growing up, in adulthood, I wasn't always able to quickly identify it early on, right? I was super empathetic to everyone who came into my life. I believed everyone had good in them. And it was just like, you know, a good relationship or me being a good friend to them or me being a good partner or me being a good girlfriend was going to help cultivate and bring out that light. at this point of my life, I'm allowing people to be who they are. When you are over 40 or you are over 35 or you are in your 30s, girl, you need to allow people to be who they are, accept them for who they are, and promptly reposition them in your life as they demonstrate who they are. People will feel some type of way about that. People will have things to say about that. But you know what will also be great? Your mental health, your emotional health, your joy, your happiness, and quite frankly, not being dragged into other people's drama. So I want to encourage you today, look for context clues in the way the people surrounding them treat and speak about them in your presence. Because there's always a sign, like, you sure? And don't get me wrong, everybody may have a you sure, but you want to pay attention to, is this person valued, loved, respected by the community in which I find them in? Do they have a community? Major red flag if you meet someone and they have zero community. What is it saying about their ability to maintain adult relationships? Red flag. The next thing to remember is, their actions will not match their words. I love you, I love you, I love you, but you need something and they can't show up. Right? We have to move past lip service in our life and get to a place where the receipts gotta match. Like, I want receipts. And I'm not saying performative friendships or transactional relationships in our life, but people gotta pay like they weigh, honey, in order for you to give them access into your life. Because after the first, second, third person who comes in and out of your life and this behavior or pattern starts engaging, we have to turn the mirror onto ourselves and say, what am I doing that is creating this open door for these kinds of individuals to come and find an opening to enter my life? Just because someone approaches you or makes an advance or attempts to be your friend does not mean you have to receive the friendship or relationship. You have the option of saying no. And if your antenna goes off because you see they're telling blatant lies, you see they deny they ever said anything, you see that they use what is near and dear to you as ammunition, you see they wear you down over time with their little side comments, their actions don't match their words, then my friend, you may indeed be dealing with a gaslighter. Save yourself. Save your edges. Save your time. Save your money. Save your energy. Save your soul. And find a way to efficiently and cordially and concisely minimize their role in your life. Okay, I hope you appreciated this episode as much as I loved making it. As you know, I share it like I've lived it. So every example that I've shared today, I can think of an incident in my mind or in my life where I actually had to walk through it. And I hope that my struggle can be a blessing to you. If you appreciated this episode, please like, share it with a friend, and subscribe to the Easy Breezy Life podcast. Love you much.